This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, in our world today, many people believe that we modern humans are supposedly more enlightened than the wise humans who lived in the past. Especially ignorant humans who lived in the time of Jesus. And as a result, there are certain things that you no longer hear from pulpits today. For instance, some pastors no longer talk about sin, because that word sin is supposedly outdated. Besides, you might offend someone. Then again, other pastors don't speak about the historical reality of the miracles we read about in Holy Scripture. Why not? Well, because supposedly we modern people know better, and we now recognize that the Bible is just full of fairy tales. In addition, you don't hear many pastors talk about the devil or demons either. Why not? Well, even though the Bible clearly talks about the devil and his evil angels, it is said that we modern folk don't really believe in such nonsense anymore. In fact, some will say that the ancient people, like the man mentioned in our gospel reading, they were not really possessed by evil demons at all. Oh no. You see, some say that Jesus simply didn't have enough sense to recognize that these people either had epilepsy or some type of mental illness. That's how some people explain away our gospel reading. But my friends, this evil arrogance is nothing more than one of the devil's lies. That's right, the devil does exist, and his demons do possess people. But sadly, many do not believe this anymore. You know, this reminds me of what C.S. Lewis once wrote. C.S. Lewis is a famous Christian author, and one of the books he wrote is entitled The Screwtape Letters. And at the beginning of this book, he writes the following about how modern people react to the biblical teaching about the devil. Listen to what Lewis writes. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. The demons themselves are equally pleased by both errors. Now, of course, there certainly were people in Jesus' day who suffered from epilepsy and mental illness. But since Jesus is God, I'm sure he knows the difference between physical or mental afflictions and the spiritual affliction known as demon possession. My friends, God's word does not lie, nor does it contain error. Our gospel reading for tonight is clear. The man in the synagogue was possessed by several evil spirits. In fact, they knew who Jesus was, and they were terrified. That reminds me of what we can read in James chapter 2. Listen to what James writes. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now, at this point, allow me to say some other important things about possession. On the one hand, the man in our gospel reading had a very obvious kind of demon possession where several evil spirits had completely taken over his entire personality and will. In fact, all who knew this man could see that he was obviously under the control of the devil. In fact, there are some people today who dabble in the occult and who flirt with satanic arts, and they are in danger of ending up just like the man in our gospel reading. But on the other hand, there is another kind of possession that is far less obvious, and it affects all people everywhere. because of this kind of possession, it's not always very obvious that people are under the influence of the devil. In fact, it's very common in our modern world to assume that we humans are in control of our own lives. But the truth is this: we are all possessed. The question is, by whom are we possessed? You see, according to the Bible, every person in this world is possessed either by the devil or by God. Sadly, the people of this world, especially we Americans, we live under the delusion that we are masters of our own destiny and that we are completely free when it comes to choices that we make and opinions that we hold. But the truth is that we're really not in control at all. For instance, listen carefully to what Scripture says about non-Christians. In our first reading from Ephesians, we heard these words of God: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air." That's another name for Satan. And then Paul says, "The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." In addition, hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes, "The god of this age," referring to the devil, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And so we see that if people do not believe in Jesus, they are not free and in control of their own lives. Instead, they're actually puppets of the devil and don't even realize it. That reminds me of a conversation I had with a man many years ago during my college years when I was working as a security guard. I was working a shift with another guy who had replaced my usual co-worker, and this particular guy was boasting about the fact that he was an atheist. And of course he enjoyed talking about that since he knew I was going into the ministry and he wanted to see what kind of reaction he could get out of me. He made the comment that on his car he had this bumper sticker, and it said, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins." He then went on to explain to me that, hey, I don't believe in any God at all. I'm in it for myself. I'm going to make the most out of life that I can and get all that I can while I can. And the best thing about it is I don't have any God telling me how I have to live or what I have to believe. I'm free. I'm in control. I'm master of my own destiny. I wish I would have had the guts that night to actually tell him that, no, you're not the master of your own destiny. You're actually a puppet of the devil and a slave to his will. But in contrast, we who have been saved by God, we who confess our sin and trust in Jesus, we are actually possessed by God. I want you to listen to these words from Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In addition, hear these words from Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Now, as we heard in our first reading, faith is the gift of God. In fact, even the good works that we do are the result of Jesus working in us. However, as long as we live on this side of eternity, as long as we still have a sinful nature, the devil will do all he can to destroy our faith in Christ and fill our hearts and minds with his poisonous lies. In fact, just as the devil was able to tempt Adam and Eve, he can do the same to us if we turn from Christ and try to deal with the devil by our own power. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. He says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In addition, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." So, we now know that it is possible for the devil to lead us away from Christ if we turn away from Christ and start flirting with the devil's temptations. But how does the devil get us to this point? Well, in some cases, his work is obvious. There are rare situations where it's totally obvious that the devil is at work. You might think of somebody who's involved in a satanic cult, or somebody who listens to satanic music that praises the devil and mocks Jesus. Or if somebody has evil and abnormal behavior that cannot be linked to physical or mental illness, like the man in our reading, that's a good sign that somebody is controlled by the devil. However, the devil is not usually so straightforward and obvious. In fact, more times than not, the devil will go out of his way to completely disguise himself so that people are following the devil and don't even realize it. You see, the devil delights in deceiving us into thinking that he's offering us something good when he's really trying to give us poison. Listen to what Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." In other words, the devil may try to lead you from Christ by getting you to gradually view evil as something good. For example, many in our society talk about God and spirituality, and this all seems good to them, and yet their false faith has no room for what the Bible calls sin, nor does their false faith have any room for God hanging on the cross to pay for their sin. We can find many people who talk about being spiritual and being religious, and yet they are offended at the fact that they need to repent and trust in Jesus. In addition, the devil may lead us away from Christ by getting us to think that our virtues and our good deeds make us worthy of God's blessing. Or the devil may get us to think that various sins that the Bible condemns are actually good and even should be affirmed. We think today of practices like abortion and homosexuality and other sexual sins. Even though the Bible clearly condemns these things, the devil has led many people to not only tolerate these things, but even to suggest that they are good and should be affirmed. But the fact is, the devil doesn't want most people to think they are actually doing something evil. It's better to deceive them. It's better to get us to think that we're just being modern. We're just being enlightened. We're better than other people who are the real sinners. The devil wants us to think that we're basically good people and that we have no need to fear God's wrath because we're really not all that bad after all. Yes, my friends, the devil is alive and well, and he wants to enslave and torture your soul for all eternity. And if the devil can lead you into hell, smiling the entire way, then all the more will he relish it. But my friends, you do not have to end up spending eternity with the father of lies. You don't have to live forever in doom and despair with the demon of darkness. No, God has done something to rescue you from that fate. I want you to listen again to these words from 1 Peter chapter 5, plus some extra words I didn't read before. Listen. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, says Peter, standing firm in the faith. So Peter says we should resist the devil, but how do we do that? Can we do it by our own strength? Absolutely not. We lose for sure then. So then how do we stand against the devil? Peter says, stand firm in the faith. In other words, stay with Jesus. He is your mighty fortress. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. You see, the devil has absolutely no power to snatch you away from Jesus. The only way the devil can touch you is if you willingly walk away from Jesus into the devil's clutches. But the good news is that if we confess our sins and trust in Jesus, then He is our mighty fortress protecting us from anything that the devil would try to do to us. My friends, each day we live, the devil tempts us to begin a sinful journey away from Jesus, one step at a time. In fact, every single one of us starts taking that dangerous journey whenever we sin by thought, word, or deed. But the good news is that before we get too far away, Jesus calls out to us and He says, stop! Repent! Don't walk away! Come back to Me, because I forgive you. I love you, and I want to live in you and be with you forever. That is our hope as Christians, my friends. When we face the devil's daily temptations, when Satan tries to take possession of our hearts and minds, we have Christ calling out to us and Christ defending us. Remember our second reading from 1 John chapter 4? Listen again to these words. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Did you hear that? Jesus dwells within you. You are possessed by Christ. He will protect you to the end. In fact, all this wonderful good news reminds me of these words at the end of the book of Jude. Listen to what Jude writes. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So my friends, never forget this good news. The good news is that you are possessed. You are possessed by Jesus. So stay close to Him, trust His word, follow His lead. Rest safe and secure in His strong arms of love. And always remember these words from our second reading. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.